Welcome to Leverage Masters, airing weekly on Tuesdays at 12 Eastern and on demand on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Leverage Masters hosts Jack Humphrey and Gina Gaudio-Graves discuss leverage strategy with guest leveragists. Be sure to subscribe to Leverage Masters in your favorite podcatcher for great tips and case studies on using leverage to achieve your biggest goals much faster.
And you're listening to Leverage Masters. This is your host, Andrea Adams Miller. And our co-host, Gina Gaudio-Grace, is unable to be with us today. Gina has been instrumental on the Leverage Masters channel for so many episodes, really leading people with excellence in consulting and business and other areas in joint venture and with her company, Divizio. And with the Red Carpet Connection, that's me, Andrea Adams Miller, and the KeepSmilingMovement.com. We are really making strides in the world to bring out happiness and amplify goodness through smiles, and with the Red Carpet Connection, with publishing, publicity, and sponsorship. We have a really excellent show planned for you today. Of course, it wouldn't be anything else but excellent. I will let you know right now that I do sound a little interesting because I have been talking so much because I just spent several days in Miami at SoccerX. SoccerX is a huge conglomerate of all the sports industry favorites, from your sponsors to your organizations to your vendors to your team players, and how they all come together to make soccer even more available to people all over the world, a great international event. And that was followed up on Saturday with Best Buddies collaboration for the Soccer Celebrity Match, which we were invited to cover as a full media press for the red carpet, with Enoch, one of the players from England, who just really is instrumental in really spreading the message of love with Best Buddies. And that is an annual event there in Miami, and super awesome to cover so many celebrities. I think I took over 65 celebrities' photos that day, and we'll be making a Keep Smiling book for them. But now more what we have in store for you today. We have David Corson, a friend of mine. He is a publisher and editor of Commercial Construction and Renovation, which is owned by F&J Publications. Now, this magazine not only has a magazine, but they have a yearly summit, and he is going to be sharing with us about the magazine and the summit, and who should come, why they should come, why they should be involved, the vendors, the sponsors, the attendees, and so forth. But a little bit more about David. He's a graduate of the University of Denver and a veteran of business-to-business publishing, and he began his career as a sales representative for auto and transportation interiors, and then he became a national sales manager for Display and Design Ideas magazine, and then he was the founding publisher of Retail Operations and Construction magazine before founding Retail Construction magazine in 2002. He also founded Healthcare Building Ideas in 2004 and Hospitality Construction in 2005. He merged all those leading construction titles in 2009 to Commercial Construction magazine that is involved to its current title, Commercial Construction and Renovation. So obviously you can hear this gentleman has lots of really great passion, expertise in this area of the world, which will be of great benefit to all of you listening. David, I'm so glad to have you here. Welcome to the show. And I can't hear you, so let's make sure you can talk on the show. So, David, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me? Am I on?
I can hear you now.
thank you. Hey, I was talking to you last night. You didn't have a voice, and I was worried that, you know, laryngitis was going to kick in. So your voice actually sounds pretty good. And I appreciate the invite.
Oh,
so
good.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm really excited to be talking to you because Leverage Masters, you know, we've been on for a really long time, and we love to talk to different people in different industries to really help people leverage their lives, their professional worlds, from productivity to profitability to networking to joint venture. And you really kind of take all of those and merge them together in this area of commercial renovation and construction, because people don't realize that, you know, when we're thinking about a new company or a new business or an old one, that they're constantly thinking about what are we going to be needing to do to update this, to do better, show up better, and be what we need to be for our customers in the future. And they really work with so many different people across different industries. And this is what makes me really excited about talking to you today. So kind of tell us how you even got into this. You went from auto to construction. So that was a flip to begin with. So how did that start?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm from Philadelphia originally, up in the Northeast. My mom is from Philly and my dad was from New York. And my mother's side, they had a recycling company. It's still in business. It's called Maripolic Steel, and it's been in business since 1888, and still run by my cousins and so forth. My dad was on the upholstery side out of New York with a couple of plants down south. And when I was growing up, I was supposed to, my cousin and I were going to go in and run the furniture business, and that was, you know, the plan and so forth. When I was growing up, when I turned 16 in Pennsylvania, you get your driver's license. So all the grandsons,
right,
on my mother's side, whenever you got your driver's license, you had to go work out in the steel yard. So I was born in June and got my license, and my two cousins. So I went in and I burnt steel. I laid railroad tracks. I shoveled asbestos. I did everything. And, got into the construction side of things. And then, I went to prep school in New Jersey, so I was a hockey lacrosse player. Ended up going out to DU and playing lacrosse and playing a little ice as well. And after I graduated, got into the Levitt's training program to learn my retail background before I was going to go down and move to Hickory, North Carolina to work in the furniture plant. But After I scotch guarded a million sofas and unloaded a bunch of trucks and put together more of those little brass TV tables that you can imagine, it came time for me to move to North Carolina. I said, you know what, I don't think furniture's my bag. And this is like probably, you know, the mid-80s or so. I'm giving my age away. And
of course.
Anyway, went back and my dad had passed away in 78, so my mom had gotten remarried, and my stepdad was in jewelry and retail, so he talked me into coming in and working for him. So I went and got GIA certified by the Gemological Institute of America, and we built another store. And after the store was built, I figured out that, you know what, I don't know if jewelry's my bag. I don't like sitting behind the showcase waiting for customers to come in. And in the meantime, I was also working for this company called Colorado Prime. It was an in-home food service. And I just decided, you know what, I think I want to, you know, pursue it. So I got moved around. I was in Atlantic City. I was in Cincinnati. I was in Dayton. I moved to Louisville, Greensboro, and then I ended up in Atlanta. And at that point, they wanted me to move back to corporate up to, outside the city out in Long Island. And I said, you know what, I like the South. I like the weather, and there's a bunch of Yankees living down here and cheap to live. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to go look for something else to do. And so I looked in the paper. I found an ad sales job, and I went in, and believe it or not, my parents were in furniture. The publishing firm that I interviewed with, they had 10 magazines and 8 trade shows. They had a furniture magazine that my parents used to, my father and my uncle, who were running the business, they used to run ads in there. And the owner said, I met this kid when he was like 3 years old when we were pitching his parents to run ads in the magazine in the showroom in New York. We got to bring him in. So,
yeah.
So, you know, small world, timing business is everything. So I had sales experience, but I didn't have ad sales. I knew nothing about publishing. But they said, you know what, we're launching this automotive book, and we'd love to put you on it. You'll call on Ford, GM, Chrysler, and all the vendors that instrument panels, headliners, et cetera, for the interior. So I said, okay. So I worked on the launch, and we had a little show up at Cobo Hall in Detroit. And after a couple of years, they decided to put me on their flagship, which was called Display and Design Ideas. fixtures, lighting, display, visual merchandising, and it was tied to a huge show called Global Shop. They used to do it up in McCormick Hall. Took both sides. 20,000 attendees. I mean, a huge, huge gig. And I had my little section, there on the floor. So in 99, they decided, hey, you know what? We want to go after the construction side. We're going to let you launch this magazine. We came up with the title Retail Operations Construction. It was Rock Magazine. And then Nielsen decided to buy our firm. And, when corporate America buys, entrepreneurs and so forth, they came down and did the Dog and Pony Show and said, hey, we love you. We're not going to change anything. We're gonna leave everything as it is. We like the entrepreneurial spirit and so forth. That lasted about 18 months. And right before Thanksgiving, actually right about the same time, back in 2001, they cut about 30 magazines out of the portfolio. And my little construction book, which was 3 years old, got the axe. And I was publishing another book called Point of Purchase, so I was a dual publisher, but my heart really was in construction. And the year that I launched it in 99, my son was born. So I kind of looked at the magazine kind of like it was my kid, and someone had to stick up for it. So I took the day off, flew up to New York from Atlanta and said, met with the president, cold call and said, hey, give me a meeting. I want to talk to you. And basically told him, said, listen, I believe in the magazine. You guys have the wrong budget, and I can make it more profitable running it myself. I want you to sell it to me. And they were like, David, you could retire here. We love you. You have a big career path with us. Are you really seriously need to reconsider this? I said, Mike, I'm going on the road. I'm going on the road for the week. I'm going to come back. You need to make a decision. And they thought I was bluffing. So I went on the road. I came back. I said, are you going to sell me the magazine? And they said, no. I said, here's my resignation. I resigned December 17th, 2001. And, of course, everybody, my parents and, all my friends, they were like, you're crazy. You have an expense account, your 401k, all this stuff. You're with a huge, huge conglomerate media outfit. And I just said, you know what? I just really want to go do my thing. I believe in this. And 9 out of 10 businesses don't make it. And, I knew all the dreadful news that was out there. But, I kind of, I was a sports guy. I played to win. And so I resigned and started out of my house. I started with a fax line, a press release, and a phone. I mean, it was really before even the internet really took off. I mean, we all had just gotten laptops and email. And so it was one of those things. And a lot of my advertisers and my editorial board on my old magazine, Rock, some of them, most of them came with me. But some of them said, I'm not going to give you your rate. I'm going to give you this much money to run ads to see if you make it. But I want you to make it. I believe in you. I like you as a person as well. So in 2 months, I put my first issue out. I had Home Depot on my cover, director of construction. His name was Mark Beers. Home Depot at the time was cranking out 140 stores a year and gave the magazine some credibility. And in publishing, putting out the first issue is not the tough part. It's the second, third, and fourth one, to keep your momentum going. So we launched the issues, and then we decided to launch our trade show, which was called Retail Construction Expo. So the following year, we put the expo on. We did it at the Atlanta Mart downtown. And then we did it at the Georgia World Congress Center. And then my stepdad, he was the chairman of the board of a major hospital up in Dayton, where his toy store was, had a meeting one day and called me and said, we were looking at magazines and stuff. And, Dave, you should really look at this healthcare game because there's no really construction magazines. You should look at this as a new book to launch. So we did our research and we launched Healthcare Building Ideas, and then we launched our trade show, which was in Baltimore down by the Inner Harbor. And then we kind of looked at things and looked at hospitality, and then we launched our hospitality book and our show. And we grew very, very quickly. And to me, construction, whether you're building a hotel, a restaurant, a retail store, a healthcare facility, it's still drywall, roofing, security, general contracting, engineering. I mean, all the different aspects were all the same. The biggest difference, healthcare, you have infection control. But other than that, it's basically like a big hotel to me. And we grew very, very quickly. But as we grew, my time and time for my family, I mean, I was Delta Platinum. I'm flying around the country. I'm walking 40 or 50 trade shows a year. And it was fun. But, believe me, traveling isn't glamorous. And I had no life. And right before, did you know? Hey, Andrew, you're on the road. I know you know what I'm talking about. So,
we live at a safe basis.
Believe me, I laugh at you when you tell me I'm on the road for 2 weeks. I'm sleeping in the car. I gotta go here. And we ran lean too. So I was doing all sorts of stuff. But what happened was I was carrying most of the ad pages in the healthcare side of things, and I had I was going up against probably 8 magazines in that sector, and one of the healthcare publishers reached out to me and said, "Hey, David, we'd like to buy your magazine. Basically, we want to get rid of you, but we'd like to buy your magazine because we were going to launch one, but you know how launches go. We'd rather buy yours. It's high quality. You have excellent editorial, and we'd like to, it's turnkey for us." You know, 9 out of 10 right. of those deals never happened, but finally they stroked me a check, and nothing to retire on, but it was great PR for my company because someone from a high quality publishing outfit, purchased my magazine. And at that point, I merged all the magazines into one title. So I went from 21 issues to 6 issues. And, with all that, everything is economies of scale. I didn't have to write 21 columns, publisher columns. I only had to write 6. I didn't have to publish 21 issues. I landed by, 6. And we did the same thing with the trade shows. We merged everything into one event. So I didn't have to rent 3 trade shows at all, trade show halls. All I had to do was 1. So, it was kind of an epiphany. I had actually, what happened was one of my exhibitors came to me that was in the HVAC side of things and said, "David, I have to do 3 trade shows with you. Why don't you combine the shows? And I don't care if it's a hospital, a restaurant, or a retailer hotel walking down the aisle. They're all good clients for me. Do yourself a favor. Just do 1 show. It makes things easier. And you'll still get all the attendance." I said, "That's a really good idea." He said, "You should do it with the magazines too." And I kind of had the ego with the magazines. And I was like, So I did the trade show first. And then when I sold the healthcare book, I said, here's the time I'm going to do it. And then 2008 came. And you know what happened? The economy fell off the cliff. And a lot of and construction got, it was demoralized. I mean, a lot of people got whacked. A lot of contractors went out of business. A lot of the construction projects that were, in the pipeline just got halted. I mean, it was brutal. And so over between 2008, 2009, for our trade show, we used to have, 250 exhibitors, 2,500 attendees, and our attendance just dwindled. And I got basically cut in half. And then our last show, I had an editorial board after the event, and we just said, let's just get rid of the trade show hall. A lot of people don't even like walking down the concrete jungle with a bullseye on their back. Let me scan your badge. And you can't even have really good conversations. And so we kind of went to what we call our summit, which right now is coming up in January. It's our 10th anniversary event. And we made it very simple. We made it, we do it in a boutique hotel. We do a little tabletop. We have networking, some seminars. We do some one-on-one or speed dating, call it whatever you want. But you actually can conduct business. And the exhibitors, they don't have to lug a booth. They don't have to be in some expensive hotel and marshals on the dock and shipping your booth and all this stuff. And it was probably one of the best decisions that I actually had made. And so I started the summit here in Atlanta. First year I did it at Chateau-Alain, which is a winery north of Atlanta. Then we moved it down to the CNN Center. And then I went out to Scottsdale. We did the Talking Stick Hotel. I've been in San Antonio, Miami, Tampa, Orlando, Daytona. This past year we were in Biloxi, Mississippi at the Golden Nugget. And this year we're doing it in Jacksonville at the Lexington Hotel, the 21st to the 23rd. And I have a very loyal subscriber base, and a lot of my subscribers, they come to my event too. Some come every year, some come every other year, and then I get new brands as well, people that come in from the industry, et cetera, that hear about us or find us, you know, on social media, et cetera. And we have a good time. We do some business, we do some networking, we have some fun. But, you know, that's my story. So I'm kind of a – I call myself a publisher because I have a magazine and I have really good editorial, but really I use it to promote events because, I, you know, we do our summit. Where I met you was at our cocktail receptions that we do one a month. Where was the first one I met you at? Which one did
at
I meet you
Armory
at?
At the Armory in Nashville. At the Armory in Nashville.
So, you know, we do the cocktail party.
Well, you heard me
no,
speak,
go ahead.
And you were so kind to give me that wonderful compliment. Do you remember what you said? I'm always happy to hear that again.
Well, listen, you know, one of the things, you know, when we do the receptions, they are what they are. But to change my story a little, this past year, one of my board members that was on my magazine, she had built about 500 stores, and she was with the little gym, and she had been on the cover of the magazine and gotten her title, and she had just done everything that she could at the brand that she was at. And she came to me after our women's retreat that we do as well and said, hey, we should do an association or something with women. I want to be a life coach and do and so forth. And I said, hey, I'm game. So we put our heads together and we came up with our association called Lead Up for Women. And we launched in January. And this past year we did 10 luncheons. And we combined them with some of the travel that we had for my commercial construction magazine receptions and so forth. And it was an amazing thing of momentum that, you know, that when we built the Lead Up Association, it was a nice time because we knew a lot of female professionals that were in the construction retail side or architecture, et cetera, in the construction sector, basically, that we kind of built it on. But then we kind of branched out and met all these other types of females, that professionals, women business owners that were out there. And I'll tell you, you know, women, they're just wired differently than men are. And it's very, very, well, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for, but, you know, women in the construction industry, they're playing in a man's sandbox, basically. So they've got a little tougher gig, respect, and so forth. And going to the Lead Up luncheons, hearing women talk about all the other issues that they have to deal with, I have a lot more respect for females than I did before the association. Not that I didn't before, but some of the stories and discussions that I heard, you know, it really hit home with me. And I was honored that, you know, Colleen and I, you know, as my business partner, you know, she's the face of the organization, but she's a go-getter, and I'm glad that, you know, she had faith in me as a publisher to help her with the magazine and be the ops manager and get that off the ground. But so, you know, it's been a whirlwind. You know, I'm an event planner, I publish a magazine, I'm an editor. You know, I changed the Xerox, you know, copier machine when I, you know, need new ink. You know, I mail stuff. I mean, in the heyday, I used to have 14 employees. Now I do everything with 5. And back in 08, when the economy fell off the cliff, I learned a lot about my business. And as far as, you know, do I need to send, you know, 20,000 copies out to all these people? Do I need to spend X amount of dollars for cover photos with digital photography where, you know, deal with film and so forth? You know, I made it through. And learned a lot about it. So it, you know, even though when things are looking tough and, you know, gloomy out there, you got to keep your blinders on. You have to stay positive. Not every day is going to be great. But as long as you stick to your guns and believe in what you're doing, you know, you'll succeed. And there'll be some bumps in the road too. And that's what makes it fun. And I'm a sports guy, so not every game's going to go great. You know, but if you win an ugly game, it's still a W, you know, on the scoreboard, as far as I'm concerned. Some games are going to look prettier than others, but that's okay with me. And you're not going to win all your games. Some things aren't going to go your way. you got to pick up the pieces and pull your pants back up and head on down the road. You know what I mean? And you know where I'm coming from. So.
Oh, absolutely. So you had shared that with us about Lead Up because you had seen me speak at Lead Up and then and heard me talk during one of my talks about how I had shot in law enforcement. I was trained in firearms, and that's what led you to talk to me more about coming to the armory that night as part of your networking meeting. So for those of you listening, you know, being part of the network with David's organization is that they meet in different locations throughout the year where the guys and gals get together and really network at a high level.
Yeah, what we do is we pick cities that we have a large subscriber base. So I do all the big ones: L.A., New York, Boston, Philly. I do Atlanta. We do Denver. I went to the University of Denver, so I always have I'm kind of fond there. It's always good to get back, and I had a couple of my fraternity brothers come down this year. I hadn't seen them in a while, but they're 2-hour cocktail parties. And what's cool is that I have kind of like almost like a groupie, a rock group gig, where a lot of the vendors, they'll know that the reception is going to be on. We normally do them on a Thursday, but sometimes they could be on a Tuesday, depending on the day and schedule. But they'll come in for a couple of days, run calls locally, and then they'll end their trip coming to my reception that evening. And they know that there might be a person that they've been trying to reach out to that doesn't return their phone calls, deletes their emails, or so forth. And there they are sitting up against the wall, and you can go right up to that person and introduce yourself and so forth. They're very laid back, and we always do them in cool places. We've done axe throwing. We did the armory. We did a shooting tournament there. We've done cornhole, bocce. We try over the years trying to get, we used to just do them in restaurants and a bar and meet there, but everybody's done that. So the past couple of years, we've put these events together where we have activities. So in Denver, where we met, when we were there, we did the tour of the Rocky Stadium. Even though it snowed, we still did the tour. And I'm really sorry you had to walk around in your high heels in the snow.
Yeah, but we had a really great time at that. That was a lot of fun to do that and go underneath and hear some of the backstories of Coors Field. That was awesome.
Yeah. So we do them, in very, very cool places. They're 2-hour gigs. We take pictures, and then we run it like a people section in the magazine. And they're just fun. And I go out and I find the places that we're going to do them at, and we send the invites out, and we let the chips fall where they may. I mean, some of them we get 30, 40 people. Some of them we have 100. In New York, my last event is coming up on December 5th in Phoenix. We're doing it at a place called Boondocks Patio and Grill in Old Town Scottsdale. But the guy, I have well over 100 people that are going to attend that. And what's cool is it's the end of the year. A lot of people finish their construction projects. Thanksgiving, they have to have all their stores done. And now they're, kind of taking a breather and going to recharge their batteries over the next month or so. And then what will happen is, after the holidays, everybody needs a break anyway. So they know my event's coming up. I always like to be the first one out because there's so many events that are out there during the year that a lot of these brands, they can't go to everything. But what happens is they'll see my event. They'll say, I'm going to clear my emails out. And I'm going to go down to Corson's event this year in Jacksonville and take a couple of days and then come back. And then I'm going to figure out the rest of my travel schedule for the year, where I'm going to go and so forth. And the only thing that I can't control is, snowstorms for travel, whether you're Chicago or New York or Boston. I'm not worried about Arizona or Atlanta or California, but the upper north, the north central part of the Heartland, it's dicey. You live up in Ohio, with snow and stuff. So if Mother Nature cooperates, we should have a great event. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, right now I'm in my final reg push, so I'm just kind of every day we're adding some, more attendees and so forth. And hopefully, we'll get full here by Christmas, and then, we'll start our countdown.
Well, and that's part of it too. So, like I said, we, you know, first of all, I love the networking part. I've had the pleasure of being at three of them. I sent a representative to another one. Just an amazing group of people. I just love the way they think, the way they collaborate. And then, so let's talk about what the different categories are of being at the summit. So, the first one would be, let's first talk about sponsorship. So, what is the sponsor look like? Who would want to be there and be a sponsor for this? Why?
So we have two types of attendees or participants that come to the event. We get the end user brands, which are retailers, restaurants, hotels, hospitals, schools, multifamily, shopping center owner developers, people that are building owners that are in design, construction, engineering, facilities, real estate, procurement, those types of people. I mean, the editorial target or focus of our magazine is design, build, and maintain. So those are the types of people that we attract. And the sponsor side of it, we call them vendor sponsors, those are the people that are basically either build or maintain the floor. So we have everything from the floor foundation to the roof, ceiling, and everything in between, fixtures, lighting, flooring, and all the people that maintain it, the contractors, the facility guys, the engineers, the guys that put in the cable and data, project management, et cetera. And we limit it to five vendors per category because what happens is we pick up all of the brands, hotel, air, travel, et cetera. In return, they have to sign a little a contract with me that says, hey, I'm going to come to the event and I'm going to meet with vendors and I'm going to do X amount of networking and participating, you know, at the summit. So they know it's not a junket. And like I said, I don't get window shoppers at my event. These are people are I've known them for 20 years or so. They're looking to shave a few percentage points off their budgets, whether they're new construction or renovation. And they have a stable of vendors that they normally do projects with, but they're always looking for someone new that can come in and maybe have a new way of doing things and where they could save a few dollars. And if you're relamping 100 retail locations for lights, and you've been using a couple of different facility companies to do that, there might be another person there that says, hey, you know, I do it because I use a different type of lamp or LED, and we also had this way of doing it to cut down on the time and so forth. So the brands come in, they really actually are trying to look for new people to help them. But then there's a lot of people there that they do business with, so it's kind of like a family reunion and so forth. And those are the types of people that come. So we've got the end users who have the facilities that need to either be built or renovated or fixed in whatever manner. And then there are the vendors who are the suppliers that actually do that. And our goal is to have 120 brands and 60 vendors, which is basically a 2-to-1 ratio. And there are more brands than there are vendors. So the brands that are there don't feel like they have a bullseye on their back that everybody's going after them, you know, to try to meet them and so forth. And so we kind of switched the tables because a lot of times, a lot of the trade shows that are out there and, you know, in the concrete jungles and so forth, you know, they don't like to walk down the aisle. They'll turn their badge around because the minute they, you know, someone sees a, you know, a big brand walking down there, they want to grab them and so forth and talk to them. My stepdad said it best. He said, you know, when I go to the jewelry show, I'm actually going to buy inventory for the store and so forth for the year. Your event really is a networking game where you're going to plant a seed. Like, someone's not going to walk up to your tabletop or in your one-on-one meeting and say, hey, I want you to build 50 of my new stores. Where do I sign? It's really, hey, tell me about some of the projects that you've done. Show me, you know, a lot of these guys will have stuff on their tablets or their laptop where they can see some of the projects and so forth. And they'll leave there going, hey, you know what, I'm going to have that guy. I want him to meet me in my one site and so forth. And so a lot of the stuff is really, it's kind of a way to get your foot in the door. And then if you're a professional and you do it the right way and you follow up afterwards, you can actually land business. You know, case in point, I had an attendee that I never met. He came there from last year. He's out of Philly. And he emailed me yesterday. Said, David, I'm looking for a contractor in Queens. I have a 2,000 square foot restaurant or store that I need to get built, and I can't find anybody. Can you help me? And one of my sponsors at my New York event, you were in New York, right? Yeah, you went to the New York event. And he was one of my sponsors, so I emailed him. And I said, hey, reach out to this person, and if he doesn't work for you, email me back, and I'll find you another one. And then I sent the contractor and his PR firm, I said, hey, just wanted to let you know, I sent so-and-so your email. He's looking for a contractor in Queens. I know you were right out there on the island and so forth. You know, hopefully this will work out for you. So last night, the contractor emailed me, said, David, thank you so much for that lead. Frank already just sent me the plans for the store, and we're going to build it. I really, really appreciate it. So that's what it's all about. And, I just felt good that, hey, he helped me out with my sponsorship in New York. Here came a project. Boom, I gave him a good lead. I didn't know if it was going to work out or not, but it did. And and that's exactly how the summit works, but just on a much, much bigger scale. And they're all high quality first class people. You know, they're there to have fun, learn, meet new people, and I always tell people, hey, come to my event. Even when you read the magazine, I just want you to be able to take one good thing, one knowledge nugget, and be able to apply it to your daily activities. And if so, I've done my job as a publisher, as an event, producer, or et cetera. And, I've done my job. And then, I feel good. They feel good. It's a win-win for all involved. Are you still there, Andrew? Hello? Did I lose you?
David, can you hear me? Hey, everybody. We're still here live on the show. We're having some gremlins come in, and it's been hysterical. David, can you still hear me? So as you could hear, David had a lot of really cool things to share about the organization and what's been happening and going on. It's pretty fabulous, event. We're going to be there with the Keep Smiling movement, and we are going to be in charge of a gala. There's a go-kart gala that evening where we'll be doing some really cool things and making the go-kart award ceremony. Apparently the guys are very ambitious about making it pretty exciting and pretty on top of things. So we're looking for sponsors for that particular section of it. So I don't know where David had dropped off with his discussion of what's going on with it. But you heard that there was probably different pieces of it. My line was having the gremlins in it while David was sharing. So there's the sponsors, the people that want to get in front of these vendors and these attendees. There are the vendors themselves. And a sponsor and a vendor is kind of like flippy floppy. They can be both things in one way. Vendors might actually provide a service, a product, or be able to provide product or services for the people in the commercial industry business. And it's very, very effective for helping them maximize their businesses in a different way. And then, of course, vendors, now let's really think about this when we talk about vendors and sponsors. These are people who have hotel chains, like he was mentioning, who have restaurant chains, multiple franchisees who own multiple franchises. These are all very effective in creating things several different ways so that they can continue to help maximize these businesses, especially when they have to go into a renovation stage. Another interesting way to look at it too is, like, not only hotels and restaurants and food chains and athletic departments and anybody who's got an atrium in their businesses, they have multiple businesses, they're going to be serving multiple businesses. We just recently talked about how wonderful it would be for a vendor or a sponsor to be a person who is coming in, who is looking at servicing like all the coolants for all the refrigerators or their HVAC systems, or somebody who not only does all of that, but does their warehousing and creates an opportunity for that as well. So these are all different pieces within this that can work and work very well and function for all of these things and these opportunities. Excuse me while I cough.
Are you there, Andrea? Are you there, Andrea?
I am here, so hopefully they could hear me while I was talking to you. Maybe not. I was just telling them about the different, recapping some of the things that I see as a really good fit. So I don't know if you mm-hmm. already discussed the attendees or not, because my line kept dropping and I had to keep calling back in. So
you know, technology,
that,
here's how the summit works. It's January 21st to the 23rd in Jacksonville at the Lexington Hotel, which is right on the St. John's River. What we do is everybody comes in on that Tuesday afternoon. If you're an end user, retailer, restaurant, hotel, we pick up your air, hotel, et cetera. You get registered. You get complimentary credentials. There are some firms that have gratuitous policies that say, hey, we can't accept, travel, hotel, and this and so forth. So I have a paid registration form that's very affordable. So if they want to attend in that form, they can come in that way. So there's no reason why they shouldn't come attend this event, whether it's on our nickel or theirs. But everybody comes in on that Tuesday, checks in. That late afternoon, there's a distillery called Manifest Distillery that we're going across the river. We're going to do the tour and a taste test. And then come back, and we come in and do our tabletop exhibit with dinners, cocktails. And what we do is we run a scavenger hunt for all of the brands. When they enter that area, we give them a card, and they've got to get that card stamped by 10 of the tables. All the tables will be given stamps that are unique. And at the end of that reception, I gather those cards and I draw 10 lucky winners, and we donate money to the favorite charity. A lot of the vendors will have, tchotchkes with their logo on it, hats, golf balls, T-shirts, and it's a meet and greet, like I said, with dinner and cocktails. And if you're one of the, lucky people that we draw from, we donate money to their charity. They get the picture up in the magazine. It's just a really nice event, a nice way to start it off. Wednesdays are a big day. We have a breakfast speaker, comedian. His name is Rick Roberts. He's going to be excellent. Then we go into our seminars. We do two tracks of two. They go 9 to 10:15, and then we clean the rooms up, and we go 10:45 to noon. We do one on branding, one on project management drones. We do one on communication between men and women, and then the Retail Contractors Association is talking about looking for the lack of skilled labor that's out there, which is a very, very hot topic in construction, you know, finding people that are, you know, highly qualified to get things done. Then we go into our plated luncheon, and our speaker there is Jeff Steinberg. He's a singer, songwriter, preacher, but he was born with no arms or no legs, and he's an Uber driver. He's going to be excellent. I'm sure there won't be a dry eye in that house. I'm excited to see him. And then after that lunch,
Just real quick there. Jeff Steinberg's been on the Leverage Masters before. He's one of my clients. Oh. So you guys listening have heard me talk about him before. I'm his publicist. He's an absolute amazing guy. So super excited that, you know, I mean, think of what a small world we have. You know, we're just pulling people together that kind of all been overlapping. This is such a great thing.
See, I didn't know that I got the lead from Colleen. You know, she met him and we were talking.
Well,
I said, hey,
Initially, we met in Nashville. I talked about him to you, and I told you I had this great client because you had told me you had somebody before. So it was really funny. And then before I had a chance to follow up with you, I'd run into Colleen, and she had mentioned him again. So it was perfect that he got hired. So I'm so pleased and so glad about that, and I'm so excited that he'll be there.
He is a first-class act because after I reached out to him, he called me back, and we spoke, and we talked about it, and I sent him a couple links on the magazine and how it would look in, you know, the wrap up and what kind of people we have there. And he's just been super, super nice and gracious about having him there. And he's just going to do the best job. And, you talk to someone and you know that they really, really, truly believe in everything that they're doing. So, you know, normally I do sports people, but over the last couple of years, we've done some people that have some, physical handicaps and so forth. Last year I did a Navy SEAL that lost his leg in Afghanistan and, thought the end of the world, the world had ended. And now he's a triathlete, and how he overcame, all the depression and so forth. Got a standing ovation. The year before we had this guy, Nick Scott, that was got in a bad car accident when he was in high school and ended up in a wheelchair, and now he's working for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's a world champion ballroom dancer. He had an awesome video. You should see this guy in the wheelchair. And we like the stories, never, never quit, and give it your all. And so Jeff is going to epitomize all of those things. And so I'm really excited that booked him.
It just goes along with all you're doing. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the attendees, they get we list everybody on our speakers, so they look and see who's coming, and they're so they know kind of what they're going to say and so forth. But for the most part, just like that, if they can take one thing from that keynote, whether it's the comedian in the morning or Jeff at lunch, if they can hear one thing that they can apply to themselves or help someone else, I mean, that's what it's all about. But after lunch, we go into our speed dating. We run, you get a 15-minute, that's a pre-planned meeting with one of the brands. They're 15 minutes in length. Everybody's got, the tabletop that they used the night before. The brands will enter the room. They'll find the table that they're going to start at on the appointment grid. And then I start the clock. I give you a 5-minute warning, a 1-minute warning, and then I ring a bell. And I leave a couple minutes in between each appointment, to go to the restroom or get something to drink or check a quick email, and then they'll find their table and I start another one. And it takes about 3 hours to go through those 10 tables. And what the cool thing is that I have more brands than there are vendors. So some of the brands might not have an appointment, but they might have met someone that they didn't have an appointment with that they would really like to hear their spiel per se. And if they have an open time, they can go up to the table, even though another brand is there, and say, hey, would you mind if I sat in on this? So as a vendor sponsor there, you might be able to talk to more people because they might be interested because they didn't really know. And what happens before the event, I send out the list of attendees to all of the vendors, and they'll send me back a wish list of 10 to 12 brands that they'd like to meet with. And I do the same thing with the attendees. I send the vendor list, their product category, their website, and they in turn will send me back who they want to eat breakfast with, lunch with, and who they want to do their one-on-ones with. And then the weekend before the event, there's software that you can purchase to set up the appointments. I'm old school. I kind of sit down and I match everybody up accordingly, and I don't want to waste their time or the vendor's time. And so all the appointments, you know, could be applicable. But after you 3 hours of telling your spiel and going through 10 appointments or so, your mind's blotto. So we limit it to 10. We give you about an hour or so to get cleaned up, and then we take everybody out to the Audubon Speedway. It's about a 15-minute ride from the hotel. And out there they've got two tracks. They're electric go-karts. They go about 50 miles an hour. They've got an axe-throwing area for target throwing. And then they've got a virtual reality battleground, which is new there, that they put in. So, and we'll have trophies for each one of those events. So if you're a top driver for men and women, we have them race off, and then we have the top male and the top female drive off to see who's king of the track. And we do the same thing for the axe gig and so forth. And if you're one of those winners, you're going to be presenting them with the trophy and the picture op and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we have dinner and cocktails out there as well. And then after that's done, we bring everybody back to the hotel.
Hold on. Let's go back to there, because that's
yeah.
where the Keep Smiling movement comes in. So,
exactly. Yeah.
So with me as the executive director, why don't you share from your perspective how you see that happening?
You know, they have actually the Audubon. We asked about the red carpet, and they've got one in storage for us. So we're logistically we're planning all that out. But we'll probably have anywhere between 150 to 200 people that attend our event when it's all said and done. And everybody there, we plan on having an area where we're going to get the picture of themselves with your Keep Smiling card. And then we definitely would do a group shot of everybody with those cards. I mean, you know, it's going to be awesome. And everybody at that point, you know, it's kind of, you know, most of the business is pretty much done. So that's their time to kind of blow off some steam, have some fun. And I'm sure you'll get some great interviews and pictures and you know, for your books. It should be awesome for you. So,
yeah, we're really excited about it. The Keep Smiling movement, those of you who've been listening to our show a long time, and those of you who are new to it, you'll be surprised to hear. So the Keep Smiling movement, we take pictures of people all over the world who amplify goodness. And a lot of these commercial brands are providing places in retail and services for people to allow them to do business, to go and relax, to have better health, to have better nutrition, you know, to feed their families, to have fun with their families, to do things with their, you know, personal people, and to do a lot of business deals. And that's what we mean about, you know, amplifying goodness, is they're bringing people together to create community, and we really appreciate that. And so by honoring these people, by taking their pictures, by the people who are showing up to provide products and services that make a difference in people's lives, allow us to really honor them and bring even more people together to find out who else should be working with these people and who else should be having them on radio and magazines and so forth and television to be able to get their messages and their services out. And so it really fits in with it, especially working with such high-level people who are really making a difference with their corporations and businesses. So we're super honored for the opportunity, and we've had so many people excited about it who we've been able to, you know, mention it and bring in through the Keep Smiling movement and the red carpet connection. So thank you so much, David, for that.
Out of all the events that you've been to, I haven't seen one person say, "Oh, I'm not gonna take that picture with that card." I mean, they're all like, "Hey, where do you want me to stand?" I think it's awesome. I know Colleen and I are very fond of that whole movement, and as a publisher, I can appreciate it. So, you know, that's going to be, you know, your splash out there, and you're going to be like, you know, the grandmaster of you know, the event and so forth, and it should be a lot of fun out there. But after that, we finish up on Thursday morning. The brands, I give them an hour meeting where they can talk amongst themselves. And then we're taking everybody out to the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium. We're going to do the 90-minute walking tour. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not, but they're still going to do the tour. And then we take everybody back out to the airport to catch their early afternoon flights back. And then after the event, in my March, April issue, we cover it. I do 16, 20 pages, you know, on all the seminars and activities. If you were a vendor, we give you a business card size ad. I probably put 10 of those on a page with your logo, what your service category was, and your contact info, and then the registration list. And then I'll announce where I'm going to do the following year's event in there as well. So anybody that didn't attend the event, they can see what went on, and hopefully they would put it on their calendar and so forth. That's in a nutshell what is going on at the summit. And, you know, we're a little less than 2 months out. And just this morning I had a guy from RPM Pizza, you know, Semi's one of the largest franchisees for Domino's. He's the director of construction, and he's come to a couple of my events. He hadn't been to one in about a year or two, but emailed me and said, "Hey, I'm sending my form in. Make sure you save me a spot because I know you're getting full." So if anybody's out there that's interested, now's the time to come on board, because I'm putting my travel agent hat on after the weekend and start looking at flights and sending flights for approvals and finishing up, with our roster, what it will be in January.
Well, it's going to be lots of fun. And I just was flipping through the September-October magazine, and because I hadn't had a chance to look at it yet, I received it in a timely manner, but just haven't had
a chance
to sit down and look at it. And I'm in
here.
So I was so excited.
Did you see your picture with you had from the armory? You had the picture of the gun in there. I think you're holding an M16.
Oh,
I forget.
That one too. Yeah, the gun one, yes. And then this one for September, October, we're on the spiral staircase as well. So,
lead
that's
up.
Super
mm-hmm.
fun. Yeah, for the lead up section.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so I'm super honored. So, I'm all over the magazine.
So good story.
Yeah.
So good story. That gentleman that's on the cover, Dave Garvey, he's the vice president of food and beverage for the Grand Hinckley Casinos. He's come to a bunch of my events, you know, and so forth. And I've been after him. I'm like, "Hey, Dave, listen, you're not, you know, I know you're only 26, but you're not getting, you know, any younger. You know, let's put you on the cover and so forth." So I've been bugging about it. So finally, I deal with a lot of the PR people at these brands and so forth. So I sent them a note. I'm saying, "Hey, look, I'm looking for a hotelier. I know you guys are doing some stuff up there. This would be a really good time for you to do it." And actually, you know, he stepped up, and I'm friends with him. You know, he's in my cell. I've got a cell. He's in my, you know, my contacts list. And I was really excited to see. And I hadn't really seen it in his property. And after I saw the pictures, I was like, "Oh, wow, that place looks really, really cool." Next time we go up to Minneapolis, I'm going to make the ride up there, you know, for an hour and a half to drive up north and go see it. And so he'll be one of the people that are there, the guy on the car. He'll be there. He's bringing his construction guy this year too. So,
it looks great.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do people reach out to us? Obviously they know how to reach out to me, Andrea Adams Miller at theredcarpetconnection.com or www.theredcarpetconnection.com or www.thekeepsmilingmovement.com. And then for you, we have www.ccr-mag.com.
That's for the mag.com.
But how else should they get a hold of you?
Yeah, that's for the magazine. So if someone wants to subscribe to the magazine, as long as you're in the sector, you can get it for free. You just have to hit the subscribe button. If you want to attend the summit, it's www.ccr-summit.com. ccr-summit.com. And there's a contact. If you scroll down, you'll see that there's an area where you can request more information, and that they all come right to me, and then I can find out, you know, which side of the fence you're on, if you're an end user for complimentary credentials, or if you want to be a vendor sponsor and so forth. I will reach out with you. We're about 80% full, so right now, today, tomorrow's a wash.
And we've got 7 seconds left here on the air, so we just want to remind people to say that you listen to Leverage Masters, and we are out of time. So thank you so much for being with us. David, you're amazing. You're awesome, and we really, really appreciate you being here with us And with that, you've been listening to the Leverage Masters.
Tune in next week for another episode of Leverage Masters. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook on our Leverage Black Book page to keep up with the latest. We'll see you next time on Leverage Masters.